The topic is mental illness, I believe. The material has a cover sheet that says Kol Chole Haruach. I'm not quite sure what Kol Chole Haruach is. However, I do understand that the topic involves not only mental illness, but really should have had the title either Shkut or Shokim. And that essentially what we're dealing with is the definition of the category of Shaita and the ramifications of that appellation as it applies to any particular individual. Hence, it encompasses not simply mental illness, but also certain forms of mental retardation. However, particularly since the Keteret says Chole Ruach, I'll begin with mental illness as distinct from mental retardation, and we'll see beyond. The Gemara Chiyuvim Daf Gimel Amud Beis Reizeu Shete Hayit Yafidi Balaylo Vahalom Deveis Atoroi from the Karea Et Susa. The Gemara cites the Tisefter in Trumas. The Tisefter cites three examples of a Shete. So the Gemara Isma Rafuna Omar Ashiu Kulon Debatachat. All three of these symptoms or conditions must be present in a single individual for him to be regarded as a shaitan. Revichon Omar Afilu Be'achas Mehem. If the person manifests one of these three aberrations, even if the other two are not present, he is to be characterized as a shaitan. Comes the Gemara with a kasha. If the person's actions are clearly irrational, if they are derashkut, then he should be deemed a shaita on the basis of the presence of any one of these conditions or symptoms. If he does these things in a manner which is not irrational, then even if all three are present, the individual should not be regarded as a shaitan. So even before continuing further, it's clear that the Gemara recognizes that simply because a person is a Yetzer Tivi Belailo and the Lomba Beis HaKvoros and he's Makareya Tzufi to the bargain, it doesn't necessarily mean that he's a shaitan. If you will pay somebody to perform those acts in Syrian, he clearly is not a lunatic, but a very clever person. He's making off with your money. And if you can provide some other rational explanation for why the person engages in these forms of conduct, then it's not derashkut, and afilu kuluhu nami, he is not to be regarded as a shaitan. If he does then derashkut, then even one of these three forms of conduct should be sufficient to establish that the person is non-composed mentis. And to the Gemara, lo'oilom, says the Gemara Loilom Dekoovid Luhu Derech Shtus. The person is doing this in an irrational way. Vahalom de Besakvorit Aimur Kedeshitishra Olov Ruach Tumhu Dekoovid. There is the possibility that he is doing it Kedeshitishra Olov Ruach Tum. Vahayese, he wants to practice black magic, and this is the way to do it. Vayesi Yafiti Valailo Aimur Nangripas Achde. The individual is suffering from some kind of physical affliction. Says Rashi, Shamati Felis Aethis Mikhe Dago, it's some kind of melancholy which does not rise to the level of Shtut, or Valimira Shemiskamin Gufa Vyesa Lamokin Moavir. He's got temperature and he wants to cool off a little bit, so he's going a yehidi balaylo. The makarei ksusoi emur bal machshoveisu. One can explain the conduct of a makarei ksusoi by saying that he is a bal machshoveis and he is not doing this in an aberrational manner. He simply isn't cognizant of what he's doing because he's some kind of ivory tower egghead who doesn't realize what he is doing. That may be irrational, but it is not irrational, and it is not derech shtus. Kivin davinohu kulu Havaluhu kimi shenogach shur chamor v'domo v'nasa muad lachil. If he's doing all three together, then he's tantamount to an ox that gores a shur chamor v'domo, and one assumes that the etzem negichta is that of a shur that is prone to this, and that it has become habitual with him. It's not simply a nikra di alma, as is the case with regard to a shur tam. Now, if we take this gemara alone, what we have clearly is an attempt to categorize certain forms of conduct. And the Gemara is telling us that if a person will perform any one of these acts, derech shtus, in a manner that cannot be explained in any rational manner, then the individual is to be diagnosed as a shoyte with all the ramifications of that diagnosis. If, on the other hand, it's not obvi derech shtus, if we can find a rational explanation that is obviously applicable to this individual and will explain to us the nature of his action, and it turns out to be rational, then of course he's not a shoyte. Then where is the machlokes? Whether he becomes a shoyte in performing one of these acts or in performing all three of these acts is a situation in which we don't know why he is doing it, and there then comes the explanation of Amur. I can attribute the behavior to a cause which is not irrational in nature, albeit it is rather far-fetched. The individual who is along the Beis HaKloris is not usually the type of conduct that is done Kedei Shetisha Ola Ruach Tuma. It's more usual the Lomb Beis HaKloris is a Shreite, but it is still possible to attribute the action to the desire Shetisha Ola Ruach Tuma. Or Yetzer Yechidi Belailo is in general of the act of a Shoyte, but it is entirely possible that Nagrifas Akte is unlikely, but it's possible. So in both cases we have a Machloikis. A Machloikis, Rav Yechon, Rav Huna, whether we attribute it to some type of rational motivation, or whether we regard the activity as being that of a Shoyte. If we require that he perform all three, it's simply because we can't be machzik him as a shoyte on the basis of any one form of conduct of this nature, because there is a possible explanation. However, if he does all three of them, it is highly unlikely that an individual has three rational motivations for three aberrational activities, and therefore the circumstantial evidence becomes so overpowering that one must attribute all of this to Kishtut, as is the case in a Shur Shenogach Kamor, a Mishenogach Shur Kamor Vigomo. You cannot assume that this was simply a Nikra the Alma. If he does it with three different animals, he must be a Shur Nakhon, and we do not assume that these are three incidents that each one is to be viewed as being discrete. Instead, we must regard it as coming from some deep-sighted psychological problem. Then, we have in the Gemara essentially three separate principles which emerge even before analyzing the sugya and Dalet Amud Aleph. The principles in the Gemara are very clear. If you have any type of conduct, if you have any one of these three forms of conduct from which you can eliminate the possibility of a rational explanation, if we will have some other form of determining that he is not doing the Shetisha Ola Ruach Tuma, or we have some other clinical test that can assure us that it is not the case in Nangripas Akhte, or if we know absolutely that this person is not a Baal Machshavos, then the Amor doesn't apply, and it's clear that there are Shdus and the Chodanami. With any one of these types of activity, we have proof positive the individual to shake it. On the other hand, if we know definitely that this person is doing all three forms of activity for a rational purpose, then by definition he is not a shoyte. The machlokes is with regard to stoma de milsa. Stoma de milsa, when you have a far-fetched explanation, do you apply the far-fetched explanation in order not to be nasik him as a shoyte, or do you apply this rather far-fetched explanation, say he's not a shoyte, unless and until the evidence becomes so overpowering that you can no longer explain it away? And when does it become overpowering? When you have all three of these forms of conduct together.
far-fetched explanation is far-fetched according to whom? I mean, according to us, I mean, what's considered far-fetched?
The Gemara told us what far-fetched was. He gave us examples.
Right.
You want to know whether you'll have other explanations for this type of conduct? When you'll give me another explanation, then we will have to sit down and analyze whether it is far-fetched or whether it's not far-fetched. For example, Hayetzi Yechidi Belaylon, I thought it was elementary, now we're going to talk about this. Hayetzi Yechidi Belaylon, the man of the Gemara, was the act either of a Shaita or somebody who won Shetisharol or Ruach Tumah. In the city of New York, Hayetzi Yechidi Belaylon was probably still either the sign the guy is crazy, and I don't know if you will even use the explanation of Shetisharol or Ruach Tumah, since nobody's practicing black magic these days, that may be ipso facto proof positive these issues. But I do understand that there are some places in this country where people are not afraid to be Yitzhi Belaylo, and indeed it is rather common activity. Whether it is appropriate activity in terms of all the things the Chazal warned us about or not isn't my problem today. Those people don't know anything about shading, or they hold like the sheep of Rambam that there are no shading bismanazah. That's a separate explanation. But whether they are right or they are wrong with regard to the problem of mazikim belaylo, they clearly do not view this as aberrational activity, and a yechidi belaylo under those circumstances is certainly not to be deemed a shaita, even if with regard to this machlokes one would say afilu ba'achatu. So yes, if you will present some other explanation for this conduct which is not recognized in the Gemara and given on the day, by all means, the person isn't a shaita. As long as you can explain it and explain that the conduct is not derech shtus, it is not, he is not a shaita. That's one of the principles that I think emerges from the sugya. Yeah.
Well, we think these three categories.
That's the next problem. We'll come to it. Okay? Then we have the Gemara on Daf Dalid Omer Bez. Omer Aprofet. Ishmiele l'rakuna hodetanya ezer shuta ezer shayte. Zamari kuma shenesin loy. Tave hodarbe. Had he heard this new halacha that a ma'abit kuma shenesin loy is a shayte, tave hodarbe. If Rakuna had heard that this is in and of itself a sufficient symptom of a shaita, then he would have been chayzer, because makareksusa is tantamount to abed kol mashenaisin loy, and that in and of itself is sufficient to establish the individual as a shaita. So the Gemara in Dalet Amud Aleph gives us a new criterion and says even Rav Huna accepts the criterion of abed kol mashenaisin loy as being enough in and of itself to establish that the individual is a shaita. Iboilu. Would he have said this one is enough, but the other two, even none of the other two is sufficient in and of itself? The Lord doesn't know whether we have a complete retraction or only a partial retraction. If we take the sugi of Gimel on the day and of Dalet on the Aleph and put them together, the Gemara has given us four examples of what constitutes a shaita. Four types of activity that if performed derech shtus either individually or taken all together, these activities are indicative of the fact that the individual is a shaita. The problem, the question that was asked by somebody in the back before is, are these examples simply paradigmatic? Are we given examples of what is aberrational conduct? Or, and hence anything else that falls into a similar category, is also indicative of whether or not the person is a shaita. And presumably, according to Rav Popper, before the teiku, you would have to have three different forms of irrational conduct in order to establish that the individual is a shaita, if any one of those forms could be explained even in a far-fetched manner as being rational. Or are we to say that these examples are exhaustive? These are the criteria and the symptoms of a shaita. Any other aberrational activity is not to be regarded as symptomatic of shtus. That is the crucial problem with regard to the definition of a shaita. So that if you have somebody in a psychiatric ward of a mental asylum, the man may think he is Napoleon, he may do all kinds of other things, all forms of compulsive behavior, but he's not a yechidi belaylo, he doesn't have the chance to live if he wants, he's not alone to say kakvoris, and he is not a Makarei Aksusoi, certainly not a Ma'abed Mashmeisin Loi. It would turn out that that is correct, then the individual isn't a Shaita, even though his conduct in every other way is literally off the wall. On the other hand, if these are to be viewed as simply examples or paradigms, then it would turn out that anything that the individual does, certainly if he does, if he acts irrationally in three different and distinct areas of human conduct taken together, that should be sufficient to establish that he's a shaita. In order to deal with that problem, turn to the next item that is in the package of materials. The Rambam in Hilchos Avos, Halacha Tes, Perek Tes, Halacha Tes. Says the Rambam in Perek Tes, Halacha Tes, Hashoite Posul Le'edus Min HaTorah, L'fi She'enoi Ben Mitzvot. V'loi Shoite Shum Halach Orem U'mishaber Kelim V'zerek Avonim Bilvad. Note, three examples. A Mahalik Orem, Mishaber Kalim, and Zerik Avonim. The Rambam regarded each of those as being irrational. A Mahalik Orem is acting irrationally. A Mishaber Kalim is acting irrationally. A Zerik Avonim, I presume he means outside of Eretz Yisrael, is acting irrationally. Elo, call me Shenitra. Not all, these aren't the only examples of Shtus. Elo call me Shenitra for Date. Vininse is Date Mishubeshet. Tomi Vidvorim in Hadvorim. Afafi Shumedaber Besherofim in Kishardvorim. Hareize Posul Ubichlau Shaitim Yichoshe. The Rambam has given us three examples of Shtus. Note, the three examples do not correspond to the three examples of the Gemara, and then proceeds to tell us that his three examples are not absolute, not only, not these, Bilvad, Elo kol mishinitra fadatei, and nimseis dati mishubeshes tomid, and that tomid he adds, I presume, in order to eliminate the category of itin shreit and itin kolim. Clearly, an individual who is mishubosh in other things could not be kosher le'edus at such time that he is being mishaper keli mizurik avoni bimahalach orum. He comes to Bezdin, and orum throws stones across the room and is busy breaking kelim while he's engaged in hagodas edus, even if he does it only in Bezdin and doesn't do it as soon as he leaves the Bezdin shtibul. I presume that his edus isn't to be accepted, but the Rambam means to exclude the category of an eating shaking kolim by saying that he does this tomid. If he does this in the dover minhadvorim, even though he is medaber b'sheil kinyan b'shardvorim, he is presumed to be a shaita. Yes. Yes, that's what I'm saying. The Rambam is excluding temporary insanity. He is giving you a definition of a shaita who is a possible avis under any and all circumstances. I presume that an eating shaitim, an eating kolim, could not be made at such time that he is a shaita. When he is a kolim, presumably he is kosher. That's a person who had a refuah shleimah, he's not a shaita anymore.
Right, but I don't know the distinction between a temporary shaita and a shaita.
Right. I think that all the Rambam wants to exclude is a person who does it some of the time, but not all of the time. And in effect, what he's saying is that when he doesn't do it, he's kosher later. Even if he might do it again tomorrow. That's the Barshat to the Gemara. Eating shaitim, eating kolim. I think that that is what the Rambam wanted to exclude with the word the Talmud. Okay? Yes?
What is it for that?
You tell me. What do you mean it's for that?
Well, I don't know. I mean, last week, for example, we used it with respect to somebody who's done. So.
Yeah.
In terms of not upsetting it.
Yeah, because we're afraid that the person will become upset. In this case, I don't think that the Rambam means that the person is simply upset. He says, Nitra Fadatai, and he adds another clause. The Nimseis Datai Mishubesha Tomi. That concept of fear of Hadat, in terms of the moribund patient, is the fear that we have that the excitement or the emotional upset may hasten death. it doesn't necessarily mean that his daf will become mishubish so that he becomes a shaita. I mean, you're quite right. The term nitrofadata is used here in conjunction with the clause benimta is data mishubeshes tomi, and that's quite a different concept from the nitrofadata of the moribund patient and all the ramifications that we have in that context. Sorry? I think it means more than chronic. I think it means continual and continuous. We can have a barshaki who's suffering from a chronic condition but affects him only every morning between the hours of 9 and 10. It affects him only when somebody waves a red handkerchief in his face or who knows what. But the Rambam is trying to define a person who is to be regarded in a state of mental illness which is continual and continuous in nature. Just take a look again at Halacha Yud. The Rambam carefully placed these in different halachas. Halacha Tes is mental illness clearly, and Halacha Yud says the Rambam, Hapsuim v'yeser, she'ein makirin zvorim she'tershin says, they don't recognize the principle of self-contradiction. V'lo yavinu in yoni hadover, k'derach she'mevin in shar amor, the same hamuvuhulo amuvuholim vanechtozim bedatom umishtagim beyezer hareilu beklal hashoytim v'dovazel l'sima shira hadayim shiesh sholachavim hadas tiksav. These individuals, the Rambam says, are not in the category of shoytim. The psoim beyezer clearly refers to people who are mentally retarded, not people who are suffering from some type of psychiatric malady. What he continues to speak about in the next clause, the nechosim, the datum, mishtakim, the yeser, I'm not quite certain what the Rambam means. I suspect he's talking about what a psychiatrist would call a neurosis as distinct from a psychosis. Not that those are terms of halacha, but he means that the guy isn't quite normal, but he isn't in the category of the shaita as defined in halacha test. But if he is deficient in terms of his mental capacity, to the extent that he is not amazing, has very yishar amoret, this person's hakodesh edus isn't worth very much, and therefore Bezdin can't accept his testimony. The young lady who was paraded on the stand for the last 2 weeks in a certain criminal prosecution in the state of New York might fit into the Rambam's last clause of Halacha Yud. I'm not offering a clinical evaluation. That would be totally in the Oymed Das of the Dayonim. You're clearly not dealing with a person who is a pesky beaster in the sense of being mentally retarded. It's not mental retardation by the same token. It's clearly not psychosis, and it doesn't seem to be one of the things that the Rambam talks about in Halacha Tes. It may fall into the category of mevuholim and nechtozim, and hence these people cannot be relied upon to report events and conversations accurately, and therefore their Haggadah Eidus can be relied upon. What is the threshold level for the second half of Halacha Yud? I haven't the vaguest idea, because the Rambam says that these are the things which cannot be mechuvin biksav, and it is something which the Dayonim have to decide on an ad hoc basis, simply by observing the conduct of the individual and trying to determine whether they are competent to testify to the matter which is before the Beis Din. In any event, let's go back to the Rambam in Halacha Tes. The Rambam in Halacha Tes has clearly taken a position with regard to the question that we began with, namely, are the examples of the Gemara in Chagiga, Gimbal on the Beis, and Dalad on the Aleph exhaustive, or are they deemed to be paradigmatic only? And the Rambam is clearly saying that they are paradigmatic. In fact, the Rambam purposely, it would seem, or at least for the Joseph and Simon, Kuf, Kof, Aleph, and Ebenezer, says that the Rambam purposely ignored the simonim of the Gemara and gave us three other simonim, and then proceeded to say that even those aren't exhaustive, because he wants to indicate emphatically that the conduct referred to in the Gemara and the Giga constitutes merely examples of irrational conduct, but there are other forms of irrational conduct which are equally valid in establishing that the individual in question is a shaker. And if there is some evidence supporting that position, it's the fact that the Gemara in Dalet Amud Aleph didn't regard Ma'avid Mashinoisinloi as in any way contradicting the statements made in Gimel and the Tosefta cited on Gimel Amud Bey. The Gemara didn't assume that the halacha of Ma'avid Mashinoisinloi was excluding all the other symptoms. Otherwise, the Gemara should have not simply asked the Kasha and Rakuna, but the Gemara should have posited a machlokes between the Tosefta and that halacha which says Ma'avid Mashinoisinloi. If the examples that are given are exhaustive in nature, then we have a conflict. We have two different sources, two different sets of criteria. One gives us three criteria, the other gives us only a criterion of one. There are no others. The Gemara didn't do that because the Gemara assumed that there is no contradiction, even those of Gimel Amud Bey, that the Tosefta Trumas are only examples and paradigms, and only question was whether it is a single form of this type of irrational conduct which establishes the individual defeita, or whether you need three separate forms. So the Beshesis position is that the examples of the Gemara and Chagiga are examples and nothing more, and if we have any three types of conduct that is irrational and can be explained at best only in a far-fetched manner, the individual is to be regarded as a Shaita. And then hu hadin and hu hatam, if we have any single form of irrational activity which cannot be explained even in a far-fetched manner, a Shaita l'dover echod would then be regarded as a Shaita according to the Shita of Rambam, or at least so it would seem, even though the Rambam has not clearly spelled that out for us. There was a hand up. Yes. Yes. It's Chayev in it. No question whatsoever. I will come to that in a moment. Let me just conclude the point I was making before. If anything, the Rambam is telling us clearly that you don't need three forms of irrational behavior. Any one of them is enough, even though he gives us three examples, but he immediately follows with the words, Elo kol mishad nitrofadatai, v'nimseis datai mishabeshes talmid bidovar min hadvarim. It doesn't say, v'shloishad dvarim min hadvarim. Apparently, if you have any single form which cannot be explained in any way, some of the things that the Rambam gives us might be explained rationally. A Mishabra Kalim is not terribly different from Kriya Kriya, and maybe he's a Baal Machshavos. No, Baal Machshavos may destroy Kalim, you know, particularly if he's doing it in a manner that doesn't seem terribly threatening. He looks as if he's deeply engrossed in thought and doesn't realize that he's banging on the tape recorder or what have you, or you know, he's banging away and happens to bang on the tape recorder. One could explain it. You know, he was busy and he was engrossed in whatever it is he was predicting about and didn't realize that he was banging the tape recorder. So you need more than one to establish that, because that could be explained in a rational way. But if it's Nitrofadata and his Das is Mishubesh, it's Tony, Bidovar, Min Hadvorim, there's no way to explain it rationally, that would appear to be a Shaita Ludovar Echod, which according to the Rambam is to be defined as a Shaita. Now, there are a number of other examples that are much more prevalent than the ones that the Rambam gives, and those are typical examples for our purposes, and we'll have to deal with them. For example, I don't remember what's in this package. Is there the Igros Moshe here that talks about the personal thought that he was Mashiach? Yeah. The Igros Moshe describes an individual who thought that he was Mashiach, not an individual whom the Hasidim thought was Mashiach, but a person who himself thought that he was Mashiach, and he proceeded to commit other acts of shtus. He then was a Pelech Orum in addition to other things, and the question was, is this person competent? That was, you know, Rav Moshe's particular example of a person with regard to whom it's necessary to adjudicate whether or not he's a Shaita. I'll give you what I think is even a better example. I can't give it to you in the Ksav or in the Tshuva, because there was no Tshuva written with regard to this, but it was a case in Eretz Yisrael not too long ago about an individual who was perfectly normal with regard to his conduct, except in one area of conduct. He refused to sit and eat at a table with knife and fork. When mealtime came around, he sat on the ground and told everybody that he was a chicken, and chickens peck at their food on the ground. Now, the individual seemed to think he was a chicken, but the only chicken-like behavior that he demonstrated was in his mode of eating. And is this individual competent to execute a get, for example? Is he competent for other areas of halacha? This is the person who is a mishuge ledover echad. According to the Shita of Rambam, it would seem to me that this individual, forget the promotion of the Mashiach case, we'll talk about that later, the chicken case, this individual seems to me to be Dr. Mishubeshus Tomis Vidovar Minadvarim, one particular aspect of conduct which seems to be irrational, no possible rational manner of explaining it, and according to Shita Sarambam, this individual should be diagnosed as a shaykh for all purposes of halacha. There are Rishonim who disagree with the Rambam. The Beis Yosef, both in Ebn Ezra Siman Kuf Yotef and in Siman Kuf Chof Aleph, cite three Rishonim. One, Rabbeinu Sholem Shimshin Ben Avraham. The second is Rabbeinu Simson Shapiro. And the third is a Tshuva in the Marik, which is published, who maintain that the symptoms given in the Gemara are exhausted. An individual who does not manifest the symptoms of the Gemara is not to be regarded as a shaker. However, the Machaber in
the Beis Yosef court, is this Beis Yosef before the Gemara we were saying
Rambam. The Beis Yosef was explaining the Shita to Rambam. And here he's quoting three other Rishonim. However, the Shulchan Aruch, which was authored by the same Beis Yosef, in Feshim Mishpat, Simin Lamed Hay, is Natik Veloshim HaRambam. And elsewhere, the Dark Emotion also cites Veloshim HaRambam, so that for purposes of Halacha, it seems to be that the Rambam is the normative position in Halacha. Now, having said that, we've defined a Shoyta. But the question then is, having defined a Shoyta, what universe of discourse are we operating? For what purposes have we defined this individual as a shaykh? Clearly, if you want to advise this person to get psychiatric treatment, whether you classify him as a shaykh or not is not very relevant. A person who is suffering from some type of mental aberration which does not rise to the level of shtus is nevertheless ill and should be advised to see somebody who can help him. Then for what purposes are we defining a shaykh? If you go back to the Gemara Kegigi Gimel on the day, Rashi tells us, "Ezehu shayte ha'amur b'chol mokin shepoter min hamitzvus u'min ha'inish v'en kinyon ha'kinyon v'en nimkarei nemkar." Rashi gives us at least four nafkaminis lahalachar. A is poter min hamitzvus, B is poter min ha'inishim. Those are two sides of the same coin. Ein kinyon ekinyon, vein mimkari memkar, also two sides of another coin. But Rashi, in effect, is telling us that this is a shaita for all the purposes of halacha. What other areas of halacha are left? What else are we concerned about if we're not concerned about tea of mitzvah and einshin, kinyonin, and I suppose a gitin as a subcategory of kinyonin? If ein kinyon ekinyon, then ein gitoy get. So Rashi is telling us that the Gemara in Chagiga is defining a shaita for any and all purposes of halacha. If you define a shaita, you now have a definition of shaita which is operative in any area that Chazal were concerned about a definition of shaita. The Rambam, on the other hand, records this halacha in Hilchos Eidus and records it primarily with regard to Psulei Eidus, and begins by telling us a shaita is posel edus min hatayre, and then proceeds to tell us who and what a shaita is who is posel edus. However, in the process, the Rambam also tells us that the shaita is poter from mitzvahs. He doesn't talk about kinyonim. He doesn't tell us whether kinyon is a kinyon or whether his get is a get. He tells us that a shaita is also poter min mitzvahs. Incidentally, to the best of my knowledge and information, this is the only place that the Rambam records the halacha that a shaita is poter min hamitzvah. The halacha is significant in and of itself, but it is very problematic in terms of the context in which the Rambam has recorded it. Indeed, the rationale, or the nesinat tam, the phrase she'enoi ben mitzvah, seems to be redundant and irrelevant in halacha test. He tells us that a shaita is posel edus because he is not mechuyev in mitzvahs. In light of what the Rambam says in Halacha Yud with regard to psoyim, b'yitzer, etc., one can only ask, what is the point of including this rationale in Halacha Tes? A sheita is no more competent, or it would seem that a sheita is no more competent than a pesri b'yitzer who's mechuyev in mitzvahs. And if a pesri is excluded from the category of those who are cherim lohid, then a fortiori the sheita who does all of these irrational things should certainly be excluded from the category of those who are cherim lohid. That's a problem with regard to the analysis of the Rambam. Yes.
That's the point that it's not going to be constant.
Absolutely. Correct. There is no other explanation of the Rambam. The Rambam had found it necessary to put this in Halacha Tes, only because in Halacha Tes the Rambam is telling us that a Meshugah L'Dover Ephod is postulated. A Meshugah L'Dover Ephod is perfectly rational when he walks into Besdin. He may think he's a chicken at mealtime, but in between he's perfectly rational, and we're not exactly engaged in eating a banquet in Besdin. So what difference does it make that he eats like a chicken? Why shouldn't his avis be acceptable? In which case, the Rambam is telling you that he is thoughtful not because he's irrational. He's perfectly rational. The Sheita of Halacha Tes is not an irrational person for purposes of Hilchos Eidus. He's excluded, he's potter from Eidus, not because he's irrational, but because he's potter min ha-mitzvus, and the p'tur min ha-mitzvus is what makes him potter Eidus. The question is, why then is he potter Eidus simply because he's potter from mitzvus? And here we have a number of different and somewhat divergent analyses of the Shitas Rambam. The Igros Moshe, in explaining the Rambam, says that the Rambam, in fact, there is even a problem here with the Rambam. The Shitas is postulated from the theory of the Shitas Mitzvah. And if he is old Meshuggah L'Dover Ephod, why should he be potter min ha-mitzvah? And the Igros Moshe says that a shaita is potter from any and all mitzvahs according to the Rambam, because at such time that he is a shaita, he can't perform a mitzvah, and if he's potter from any mitzvah, he's potter from all mitzvahs, because there's no chiyuv mitzvahs lechetzoyim. By which he means, certainly, not that every individual can please an all tayyag mitzvahs. Noshim are certainly potter from some mitzvahs, since they say shazman grome, and they're mechleed in all other mitzvahs. And a zar is potter from mitzvahs kahunim. But what he means is that a person in a category who's mechleed in the mitzvahs of a category, if he is excluded for whatever reason from any one mitzvah, is excluded from all mitzvahs. And since the shaita cannot be held to kiyum ha-mitzvahs with regard to those actions and areas of human conduct in which he is not rational or competent, he is then potter. A person who is potter from mitzvahs is excluded from eidus. Yes.
This person might not even affect
Well, I think Rav Moshe would say that at such time as Meshaber Kalim, he can't very well be Mekayim mitzvahs that require the Kalim not to be broken. Now, if he's Meshaber Kalim and he's got to put on film, and he takes them and throws them on the ground and breaks them, so how can he be the kind of mitzvah film? When he's Meshaber Kalim. So this Meshaber Kalim is thought of from film, for example, or Esri. He's Meshaber the Esri. It may well be that if the shlus is such that it doesn't conceivably affect the kiyum of any mitzvah, he's not kosher from any mitzvah, hence he's not kosher from all mitzvahs, and hence he's even kosher later. What? Sorry? Louder. No, not true. Not what he described. And that's not even Bechlal V'Losh and HaRambam, because Rambam says, Dasa Mishubeshes Tomid B'dvorim Min HaDvorim. And if it's Mishubeshes Tomid with regard to any one of these things, then there are some mitzvahs which he can't be Mekayim. If he's always breaking Kalim, he can't be Mekayim the mitzvah of Arba Minim. He's destroying them as he's being Mekayim the mitzvah. So that he's potter from all the mitzvahs. But if you'll give me something else that doesn't affect kiyum hamitzvah. I mean, for example, some forms of compulsive behavior. He washes his hands constantly, but it doesn't interfere with kiyum hamitzvah. According to Rav Moshe, he's not only a shuvah over echod, he's not kosher from any one mitzvah, he's not kosher from any mitzvah. And according to his analysis of the Rambam, that's by no means the only analysis of this Rambam. The Neidah B'Yehuda, in a tshuva that was originally written with regard to the get of Kleeb, which I don't want to talk about in any great detail, but that what involved I'm not even certain, because that was part of the Machlokes. Part of the Machlokes seems to have been empirical, factual. What is it that this person was doing? Was it rational or was it totally irrational? Could it be explained in a rational manner or could it not be explained in a rational manner? But at worst, as far as that Shaykh is concerned, this individual was only engaging in some forms of apparent activity, and in other areas he was totally rational. Proceeds to now analyze the tour of Shaykh with regard to Kiyub Hanitzvi, and carefully distinguishes Shaykh from an Onur. If a person is an onus in the Kiyuma Mitzvah, but nevertheless goes in his Mekayimah Mitzvah, somebody, for example, holds a gun to his head and says, if you go and eat, Kizayis Matzah Leil Pesach, I'll shoot, and the person acting not in accordance with Halacha proceeds to eat the Kizayis Matzah, whether or not he's shot, he has a Kiyum HaMitzvah of Achilas Matzah. Of course, if he's shot, it doesn't make terribly much difference. But let's assume that he wasn't shot, and now he comes to ask the Shaila, do I have to eat another Kizayis Matzah? The answer is clearly no. You shouldn't have done what you did, but having done it, kind of to the end, you were Mekayim HaMitzvah, you don't have to do it over again. However, the Rambam Zilvaskom of the Master says that you're somebody who is a fellow of Machwas Hanichtin, he's suffering from epilepsy and epileptic seizure, he proceeded to eat Matzah, and then he is Misrata, he wasn't Yaser, the thief of Matzah, and he now has to go eat another Kuzayis Matzah, because what he ate when he was a Shaita doesn't constitute a Kiyum HaMitzvah. Shtus isn't a form of Oynes Rachmona Patre. Shtus is an exclusion from the Kiyum of a Mitzvah. Proceeds the Neidah B'Yehuda to say that if a person is kosher from even a single Mitzvah, then he is not Bichlal Achicho, he is not Achicho B'Mitzvah, and the Pasuk of Shecher Ino Ba'ochiv refers to Achicho B'Mitzvah. If he is not Achicho B'Mitzvah, then he is excluded from the Parsha of Eidus. According to Neidah B'Yehuda, this Sheiter L'Dovar Echod may be excluded from a mitzvah or from some mitzvahs, but he is mechuyiv in all mitzvahs that he is not prevented from fulfilling because of the fact that he is a Sheiter. And the Rambam then in Halakha Teres is giving you a gather with regard to Ilkut Eidus. If somebody is potter from even a single mitzvah, he is not in the parasha of Eidus, and hence has to be excluded. But it doesn't mean that exactly the opposite of what Rav Moshe says. Rav Moshe says there's no chi of mitzvahs l'chatzoyim. The Neidah B'Yehuda says there is a chi of mitzvahs l'chatzoyim. You can be kosher from one mitzvah and still be mechuyev in other mitzvahs. Yes.
Where does Rav Moshe get the principle?
I don't know. From this Rambam. L'pisha ain't the ben mitzvah. He takes it literally. He says he's kosher. He's kosher from all mitzvahs. If you read the Rambam literally, that's what the Rambam is saying. I don't think the Rambam has to be read literally. So Rav Moshe didn't think so, and I don't know if there's any real independent evidence substantiating that position. The Chacham Sofer in Kehilatot Ibn Ezer, Siman Dalid, offers a similar but somewhat different analysis of the Rambam and says that a Shaita is kosher from, I'm sorry, a Shaita is kosherated because it's Eidus Shiat Yoko La'azimon. If he does anything derashtus, then he will always be able to turn around and say that he was a Sheikh at the time that he was made, and hence cannot be held responsible for what he said or did, and therefore his evidence can't be accepted because it's Eidus Shiat Yoko La'azimon. And how this fits into the Lashon Rambam, I don't want to go into any detail right now. I'm sorry? Ibn Ezra Chelik Beis, Siman Dalet. Now, there is one other source that is relevant to this, and that is face this on Daf Gimel on the day.
Chase this discussion. The Gemara says there are shtut afilu b'chad nami. If there is no way to explain the behavior, then even one form of irrational conduct is sufficient to establish the person as a shtoiter. To chase the zechitain, zlo yo imud l'shtus rak lo yitzig over, ubin in tloch in the last week to be shaitel of all mili. Maybe we require three because the shaitel is over effort. It's not yet a shaitel. A shaitel is over effort is a shaitel only if it's a shaitel. At that point, it becomes like a sure nachshon. How does the Gemara know that any one of these, even these three, is sufficient? Maybe you need all three to establish that he is a shaytah. And so she says this, kiven duhu shaytah ba'achat, vada yesh lahachzikai, becheskat shaytah l'chol dover. If he's a shaytah, dover achat, it's yesh lahachzikai, shaytah l'chol dover. The problem is, what does this word yesh lahachzikai mean? Is this a presumption of halacha which is rebuttable, like every chazaka? It's a presumption so you know that it doesn't pertain in a given situation? Or is this an irrebuttable presumption of halacha? What does Tosis mean with the word yesh lahachzikai? Is that a principle of halacha, or is that simply a presumption of fact? The Tzvur Shor in Hilchos Shchita says that what Tosfos is saying when he talks about chazaka is the establishment of an irrebuttable presumption. In effect, his analysis of Tosfos has Tosfos saying that shtus is like pregnancy. You can't be a little bit pregnant, and you can't be a little bit of a shaker. If you do even one thing there of shtus, then everything that you do, even if it seems to be rational, is a manifestation of shtus. A person who is rational is even irrational when he is solving binomial equations. His solution is a perfectly rational solution, but it's the rational solution of an irrational man. And whatever he is doing is the act of a shaytah. According to Tzvi Shor, saying that shtus is all pervasive. And a person who is a shaita l'dover echad is by definition a shaita for anything and everything. Rav Moshe understands the tesis differently. He tells us the tesis is establishing only a presumption, and it's a presumption that can be refuted. The Gemara is telling us he does derashtus afilu b'chad nami, but that doesn't necessarily mean that he is going to be a shaita with regard to all other things. He may be a shaita only l'dover echad and not a shaita for other things. Then the question becomes an analysis of the Shita Sathesis. According to Rav Moshe, he may be presumed to be a Shaita for all other things until we know differently, but does this mean then that he is Potter Mikol Hanitzis just because he's a Shaita L'Zover Echad? We don't know, says Rav Moshe, that Sathesis agrees with the Shita Sarambam. The Rambam is the one who says that a person who is Potter from one Mitzvah is Potter from all Mitzvahs. Tosfos may not agree. He may be presumed to be a shaita, but if he can perform other mitzvahs, even though he is presumed to be a shaita, he may be chayit in other mitzvahs. Nor do we know, insofar as this Tosfos is concerned, do we know whether these three examples are daske, as the Marik and the other restraining Veshesha sites maintain, or are these examples lav daske? Again, we have the Shita Sathesis, which is not absolutely clear. It may be the case that Sathesis disagrees with the Rambam, and for Moshe this is what's crucial. It may be the case that Sathesis disagrees with the Rambam, even though Yesh Lachzika Shaita L'Choldover, it doesn't mean that he is a Shaita L'Choldover, it's just Yesh Lachzika Shaita L'Choldover, but if it turns out that he can be Mechayim of a Mitzvah, he's Mechuyiv of a Mitzvah, and hence he disagrees with the Shita's Rambam. Now, all of that is, theoretical. How do you define the shaita? Lagabi, what we have this definition of shaita? For what purposes have we defined shaita? I suppose the really crucial questions, certainly insofar as the practice of psychiatry and psychology are concerned, how do you react vis-a-vis the shaita? The first question then is whether a trach is mechuyev in mitzvahs, and are you under any obligation to encourage a trach to be mekayim those mitzvahs which he is capable of being mekayim. According to everybody except for Moshe's interpretation of the Rambam, a trach is mechuyev in whatever mitzvahs his mental condition don't preclude him from fulfilling. A shreita who is rational in some areas of human activity would then be encouraged to be mekayim mitzvahs to the extent possible, and even according to the Rav Moshe's analysis of the Rambam, the door is still left open. Tosfos may disagree, and according to Shitas HaTosfos, he may be mechuyev in those mitzvahs with regard to which he is to be regarded as competent. Yeah. I'm not sure that we pass them like the Rambam. That's, you know, Moshe is his point. His point is that Tosfos may very well disagree with the Rambam, and this Rambam may be a Daf Yochid, which I would add, and Rav Moshe is a Daf Yochid in his analysis of the Rambam. And I think Halacha L'maaseh, your bottom line would be that you would encourage the Shreita to be Mekayim both mitzvahs, which he can fulfill in a rational way. Now, certainly not if he's performing the mitzvah in a way that is clearly, quote, crazy, close quote. But if his conduct is rational, at least insofar as the mitzvah is concerned, and insofar as the time that he's being mekayim the mitzvah is concerned, it would seem to me the halacha l'maaseh, he should be encouraged to fulfill those mitzvahs which he is competent to fulfill. But probably more significant from the therapist's viewpoint is the question of whether he can encourage or even prescribe certain activities that involve what in a normal person would be an aveira. Is he allowed to encourage the shaita to do something which is otherwise awesome? And there, I presume that he's doing this because he intends to effect the cure. The purpose of encouraging the shaita to do all of this is to find a cure for the shtus. And I won't try to give you examples. I'll ask the psychiatrist to give you an example of certain conduct that he thinks may cure the patient of shtus. And the Chazal had examples. Their example was feeding macholus asurus to an epileptic. They regarded epilepsy as a form of mental illness, and the therapy that they had for it was some form of macholus asurus, and whether it was efficacious even then or not is my concern. It's the principle that applies. I don't know of any prescription of macholus asurus that will cure any form of psychosis, but there are clearly other forms of conduct that are otherwise proscribed that psychiatrists would like to recommend to their patients as a means of curing them of psychosis. Yes.
Is it relevant whether the reason that you want to show this to be aware of is for
defense? Yes, as we'll see in a moment. Okay?
I thought we just discussed the way they stopped the position tonight. That he's part of the Ligami, they should be able to do Averis? That's the question also?
Yes. And if he's taught it from his system, why can't he do Averis? The answer is those are two separate questions. For one very unique reason. If he's taught there from Kol Mitzvah Amuris B'Torah, as Rav Moshe thinks the Rambam says, then there's nothing to prevent this person from doing whatever he wants. The only question is with regard to Baal Tachilum, because the same Baal Tachilum that applies to a Kotan applies to a Shreita too. Can I be mindful of him that they were from Shreita's be a dying? Simply allowing him to do whatever he wants doesn't fall into the category of Baal Tachilum, and I suppose that in most forms of therapy you're not really involved in Baal Tachilum, but there are some forms of therapy in which you may be involved in Baal Tachilum. So basically the question is, doctor, nurse, yeah, giving him for machos asuris. Just that's not what they do these days in practicing psychotherapy. You don't actually hand him a piece of zohar asher and say eat it; it'll cure you. You tell him to go out and do things, and telling him may not be a form of alkafilum at all. Yeah.
Well, now she says he's put him in mitzvahs and put him in an onesh. Maybe he's still on to him, but he just put him in an onesh, so he's still.
You will have a shaita l'chol dovar who goes around eating the velus. You're under no obligation to stop him. Baltachilum is different from being makrish. The question is, what constitutes
Baltachilum? How come he doesn't say
min ha-mitzvah u-min ha-inish? Those are two separate things. He's talking from mitzvah and there will be no inish for averus. It's in effect saying he's talking from mitzvah ha-seh and talking from loisaseh. That's like all Rashi is saying there. Let me go back to the Baltachilum problem. There is a children of some pleasure in if.
What's the
star
that Baba Kim is like with
Shota? I'm sorry? What source is it be? Is there a reason for Baba Kim? I'm almost certain that you'll find it in the Shulchan Aruch later, this one the Gimel Arkayim, but I'm not almost sure, I am sure. The Sanskrit says so, but you can get a source in the Sanskrit too if you want. The Shulchan Aruch later in Arkayim Te Gimel involved an individual who was being sent to some school, and the school would have fed him macholos asuris. It was not a Jewish institution, and hence kosher food was not available. And you're dealing with this person who's suffering from some type of mental condition, and the shaila was, are you allowed to send him to this institution? Now, the Sanhedrin makes a number of significant points in that too. But the first point he makes is that committing him to the institution or enrolling him in the school is not a form of Baal Tachilum because you are not being mindful in the veil of the Tiyadayim. It is the people in the school that are doing it, presumably they were Goyim, who aren't Mitzuva on Baal Tachilum. So they're there, the Chacham Sofer is simply being Magdir, the various categories of Baal Tachilum. The Chacham Sofer makes two other points that are significant. One, he says that it, even if this would involve being Michael Mavelis and traces via Daim, it would be mutter for purposes of effecting a cure. It would be mutter for purposes of being mechanic this patient in mitzvah. And the raya that he brings is from a Tesis in Stokim Daf Tefes Amad Aleph. There's a sugya in Stokim on Tezayin on the day. The Gemara talks about a cotton who has more than one apotropis, and each one of the apotropsim would memane him on the apotropis's korban pesach. The net result is this cotton is not unmonary on any korban pesach. And the Gemara says, nevertheless, you're allowed to feed him the meat of any, either one of these korbanim. And Tosfos then proceeds to ask the kasha. Din Tamar, Beach Masel Pesach Shaloy Lemiyot, Nehi Dekotnes Mavelis, Ein Besim Suvim Ahafrishay, but Lasabis Lipi Adayim is Otsik Ram Peir Perch, Vele Marie, Dosti Afim Lois Achilum, Vele Ostra El Zuni de Shortin Mavelis, Albus Ahagav Nevite Chino Mitzvah, Shori. The Apotropis is now being Makayim and Mitzvah of Chino. He's giving the Korban a piece of Korban Pesach to be Makanachim in the Mitzvah of Korban Pesach. To be Makanachim in the Mitzvah of Korban Pesach, Litzayrach Chino, there's no Easter of Baal Tachilu. And what Tosfos is saying is certainly a Hiddush. And Tosfos is saying that when there is a Kiyum of Chino, there is no Easter of Baal Tachilu. And the Chacham Sofer is extending the principle and basis to the situation involved in the case of this person is being sent to the school where he is going to be fed macholos asuros, and the purpose of all of this is to train him, to cure him, or whatever, so that later he'll be able to be mekayim mitzvah, and this is tantamount to a kiyum of chinuch. Therefore, you can give him macholos asuros in order to be mekayim the mitzvah of chinuch. Yes, you're going to tell me it's not a good analysis. Right. You're right. Yes?
So is it cure some or did it happen to season?
What?
Is it supposed to cure some or did it happen to season?
No, the food isn't going to cure him. It's whatever they're going to do with him in this institution is going to cure him. Only one of the conditions of the cure is that he's going to have to eat macholos asuros. There's no other way to make the therapy available to him.
Before we come to the Chassam Sofer's analysis of Tosfos and his application, there's a second point which is established in the Chassam Sofer. And that is that the Chassam Sofer says that while it's mutter in halacha, nevertheless, mutter shiye shekha kol yomov, and nasi e rosha atilu sho akas lifnei hamokhaim. He advises against allowing the child to attend the school and eating machkolos asuris, because machkolos asuris are metamtim halev. Kintum halev, the Chassam Sofer says, will have a deleterious effect upon his yirat shemayim, and the result is that later, when he is discharged from the institution as cured, he will be cured but left with a lev metumtom, and the result is he's going to do averus. So better he should be a roshe kol, I'm sorry, he should be a shoyte kol yomov, not be cured of yishdut, and not later do aveir. What the Chassam Sofer in effect is telling you is that you're going to cure him, but he's going to be an avarian after he's cured. Better that he should not be cured, and he should remain a shoyte kol yomov, rather than a roshe shoyte. He thinks it's vadoyis. Now, I have problems with both principles that the Chassam Sofer establishes. Both his analysis and application of Tosfos, as well as what he says with regard to Tzimtzum Halei, and what implications that has in terms of therapy involving Machlokes Asuris, or a therapy involving some other kind of aveirus. First of all, the Minchas Kindle certainly disagrees with the Chassam Sofer. The Minchas Kindle says that we're dealing with something which is the Tosfos itself is very problematic, to say the least. Now, what kind of kinnuch is this for a kohen if you're being mechanachim to a mitzvah, but the same time you're being mechanachim to aveirus? You're being mechanachim to eat shaloi l'menuyot. That's an aveirus. That's how you want to be mechanachim to a kohen. You're teaching him that you eat a korban pesach shaloi l'menuyot. Eating a korban pesach shaloi l'menuyot is an aveirus. Says the Minchas Kinnuch that this is a very peculiar kind of an aveirus. It's an aveir that only the kohen is going to be over. The gadol, in the same circumstances, would not be over any aveir, because for the gadol wouldn't have found himself in this situation. It's only the kohen who has two other troops in who becomes a moni on two korban pesach. A gadol would be a moni on one korban pesach and only on one korban pesach, and therefore a baal tachilum is mutter only in a situation in which, had this person been a gadol, it would have been a midian. Since had he been a gadol, would have been mitzvah not naveira. Therefore, the baal tachilun doesn't bother us, because as a gadol, it wouldn't be macholos asuris; it would be something which is mutter. But being ma'akol a cotton, something which is usher even to a gadol under those circumstances, would be usher even for purposes of chinuch. I suppose the example would be an epsher of the Shuri Hanoah. Forget about the problem, Mrs. Lav Lahomis Mitzvah. If you would assume that you couldn't use, if you didn't have the principle of Mrs. Lav Lahomis Mitzvah, that you couldn't give a cross an epsher of the Shuri Hanoah, because it would be offered to him as a godel too. And even according to basis, you can't be over Baal Tachilum in order to be Machanis the cross. So that according to the Minchas Kindle analysis of Tosfos, the application in this mental illness case is certainly not a valid application. The Macholos Asuris are going to be also to the Godel, and hence there would be Baal Tachilum if you have to be Michael be a Dayim in this mental institution, and hence it would be also to the Shaita, because the Isra of Baal Tachilum would remain. Now remember, I switched to hypothetical. The Chassam Sofer has already said that committing him to the mental institution isn't the problem, but it's easy to change the hypothetical. What if you are employed as a nurse in this mental institution and you have to feed the patients? Are you allowed to feed the Shaita because this, in the mental institution, Macholos Asuris, because this is the only institution available, and this is the only food available, and if he's not here, he's not going to be cured. But that seems to me to be squarely within the ambit of this difference, this machlokes, between the Minchas Kindle and the Chassam Sofer. Then there's a third analysis of Tosfos, and that's the Gitzel Tetterburger in Yes.
The Minchas Kindle said that this cousin, in the situation,
and it says, but the God of Man has a situation, right? But the God of Man has a situation where he's not money we ask for our faith on. I mean, just so technically, if a God of Man has a situation to show up in the church, I don't think that's make a difference. I mean, I don't think I can say this is a special case, because it's not really a special case, because
yeah, maybe not. I don't want to dwell too much on the Nisus Spindle, but the Nisus Spindle really meant to say was that, you know, the Kohen isn't aware of the fact he's a Moni and two Korban Pesach, and he knows the halachic that we're teaching him, we're mechanic him, and the Kohen wouldn't have allowed himself to be in the Kohen worry a double, wouldn't have allowed himself to be a Moni on two Korbanos, and the male is not a problem. That's apparently what the Nisus Spindle means. But you can take a look at the Nisus Spindle inside. It's a little bit more complicated than I made it. In effect, what the Nisus Spindle is saying is that Pesach is limited to the Apotropos, the Korban Pesach. Forget about using this Pesach to establish any principle of halacha that could be able to apply anyplace else. It becomes a principle that applies only to Korban Pesach from the Alos and nowhere else. Whereas for the Tzom Sefer, it's a principle that can be applied in a whole variety of situations. Rabbi Kopeckerberger in the Pre-Yitzchok analyzes or distinguishes Pesach in an entirely different way. He takes Pesach literally and says that Pesach is establishing the Bal Tachilum when you're Mekayim and Nitzah of Hinduch, but he makes the point that I was expecting you to make, namely that Pesach says there's no Yitzchok Bal Tachilum if you are being Mekayim and Nitzah of Hinduch. But Pesach is dealing with a case in which the kiyum of Hinduch is simultaneous with the Aveira. It's like Esedre Chaloisasa, which is only the Idnei. But not the Idnei, it's Osir. If you have to be over the Loisasa as an antecedent act, as a preparatory act for the kiyum HaMitzvah, which comes later, if it's not the Idnei, it's not permissible. All the thesis has told us is that Baal Tachilim is Mutter if there is a simultaneous kiyum of Hinduch. There is Baal Tachilum, you're giving him Korban Pesach, he shouldn't be eating, but at the same time there's a Kiyum Mitzvah of Hinduch. It comes at one and the same time. Those are two simultaneous events. However, in the Tzom Sefer's case, in the case of Tzom Sefer talking about, the person isn't being the time the Mitzvah of Hinduch when he's eating Macholas Asuras. The chinuch, you're preparing him so that later he will be able to fulfill a mitzvah when he gets out of the institution. There isn't any particular mitzvah of chinuch involved in eating the macholos asuris. It's a kind of hechsher that is mechanic this person who's suffering from some kind of mental condition, so that later at some future point he will be able to be mekayim mitzvah, but there is no kiyum here and now at the time that he's eating macholos asuris. Yes.
For all these circumstances, are we equating Kiri Shurim
as Hinduch?
I'm sorry? So for the previous questions, the Tzom Sefer, but all two, are they equating Hinduch and...
No, the only one who's talking about Shtus is the Tzom Sefer. And the Tzom Sefer is telling us that curing Shtus is a form of Hinduch for Kiyum HaMitzvah.
Oh, it is.
That the Tzom Sefer clearly made that equivalent.
Okay.
By citing the basis and applying it. He's saying that curing shtus is a form of chinuch for kiyum
HaMitzvah. No, but in other words, he's been taking the previous documentation. Presumably, if the machal shtus or whatever there was the cure, that would be okay.
If that would be the cure, no. Are we talking for the previous cure?
Yeah.
No. For the previous cure, you'd have to have some kiyum in the act of eating the machal shtus. Like here, you have a kiyum for Pesach. Now, chinuch in general is a kiyum HaMitzvah. Now, again, chinuch isn't just training. Chinuch, by definition, that's why this is a plea assume that even if it's limited to Korban Pesach. Ordinarily, if you give a cotton, who's a Yideel and Anaya, if you give him a lemon instead of an ester, you're not the kind of Mitzvah of chinuch. That's nothing. I mean, it may be a nice little thing to do, and it may have certain pedagogic value, but the father hasn't been the kind of Mitzvah of chinuch. The Mitzvah of chinuch, by definition, is to allow the cotton to be the kind of Mitzvah Kusurofa. Just training him for the future is not a kiyum of chinuch at all. And the Tzom Sefer here is saying that Pesach is talking, in effect, about something which will only lead and train you so that at some future time you'll be able
to perform a mitzvah. He says there's no bas kabbalta afilu for that either. I mean, if you take and push it far enough and talk about a lemon of Isuri Hanura, giving it to a kosher, the translator might even say it's mutter because eventually the kosher will now learn how to be menaneya. You're teaching him how to be menaneya so that tomorrow, when he's a gadol, he'll know how to do it. And even though it's only kind of a hechsher and there isn't the mitzvah, the tsurosa that is now being fulfilled by the kosher, it's still mutter for purposes of kinnuch. I mean, I consider the arguments against the mitzvah of kinnuch to be very, very strong. And I just don't see how you can take that basis and extrapolate from that. I think that the Kri Yitzchok's argument is the strongest, although it's not developed directly against the Kram. Sorry, yes.
Not saying this, but the whole story is you, the father of
Yes, sure. Does anybody maintain that his father gives the kid a lemon and tells him it's necessary? That he's Makayim Mitzvah Kinnuch? Absolutely not. Even if an extra Sha'ul is good enough, but a lemon certainly is. Because a lemon isn't even a chesh on this. You know, it's not the chesh to which anybody can be Makayim Mitzvah. If there the shaila is that that's the mamish with all the protein genie except the fact that he's not in the Shuvah, because he's a cotton, or some of the details can be eliminated. Now, which details can be eliminated and still have a kinnuch is something for some other session, not for now. And I don't want to get into the detail. But clearly, preparatory acts which lead to a cube hamitzvah at some future time are not ordinarily within the parameters of the mitzvah of kinnuch, which is why the translator's analysis of tesis is rather difficult to say the least. Yes.
Is it
Kinnuch's arms to hearing the Shoset because the Shoset will and he's cured and able to do it? That's the point. That's absolutely the point. And the previous book, Raya, is from a Sugi in Erevin, dealing with an analysis of a cotton who can use the Eruv Kumin established by the mother. And the Eruv is essentially the Bar Mitzvah. Asks the Priyitzkov, why in the world does he need an Eruv altogether? Why the whole chakra of the Karyat of a Kotna using the Eruv that the mother made for herself? What do you need an Eruv for? You're taking him with Bar Mitzvah to hear the Chacham who is Zeirish someplace. That's all the Seraph Mitzvah. It's still the Seraph Mitzvah. And according to Tesis, Baltachilin is Mufis. Even if she's slapping the kid by the hand, it should be Hesher Gomer for her. To which he answers, obviously, according to Tesis, it should be Hesher Gomer. The difference is obvious. Walking Kutzlut Kum, they hear the Drosha of the Chacham, is only a Hesher Mitzvah. The walking Kutzlut Kum isn't a Mitzvah, it's the Hesher Mitzvah. And Tesis is talking only about the Kiyuma Mitzvah, he's not talking about the Hesher Mitzvah. There are other things that impinge upon the same shaila. I don't want to go into detail, but the classic tshuva from sefer about giving the cotton tshuva of tzveger, giving a cotton a sefer to carry, the tzveger that says it's osur to tell a cotton to carry on Shabbos, but if you give the cotton to sitter of the chumash, so that he will daven or learn from it or listen to kriyas sefer from it, then you can look together with him. They tell a cook and do a malacha. The Seraph themselves is all mutter, and the problem there is the Baal Tachilum problem. What does Rabbi Zvega hold with regard to all of this? He's handing the cook and the sefer, and that's no more than a hechsher. Carrying it to shul is the hechsher mitzvah. It's not the kiyum. And not only can Rabbi Zvega say it's mutter. It may be that Rabbi Zvega was talking only about the mitzvah of Rabbanon because he was assuming that you were carrying a karmus, not the shul of Rabbi Zvega. That's beyond the sukkia of mental illness. We'll leave that for some other time. But the Achrayim dealing with this and its application in the treatment of a shreite or in the treatment of shtus, all of those tshuvas are relevant in terms of establishing who is chelik on a sam sefer and who is not chelik on a sam sefer. In any event, returning to what we are talking about, clearly the sam sefer is saying that there's no issue of baal tachilum if it is undertaken for purposes of curing mental disease, so that the person will be able to be mekayem mitzvah. If we are now assuming that the person who is suffering from this mental illness is limited in his ability to perform mitzvahs. And sam sefer says, Yishur Hadin, all of this is mutter, yet it should not be done because mutter shiyah shaita.
kol yavod, rather than be a rosh even shor achas lifnei hamokim. There is an interesting truth in the Idris Moshe. Reb Moshe in the Idris Moshe says that if you will give him the situation in which a person is a shaykh gomur, and now he's and the question is, can we commit this person to a mental institution? Says the Idris Moshe, there's no question. You can commit him to a mental institution even if he's going to eat macholos asuras there. And says the Idris Moshe, some sefer would have agreed. And the difference is that the person who is committed to the mental institution is incurable. And the Sansefer was limiting his caveat only to people suffering from curable illnesses. If the person is committed to a mental institution as incurable as a shaita, we don't care that he's eating macholos asuras. Shaita is a las bar chiyuva. We don't care about his tinsum halei. And as Reb Moshe, and should the Rabbeinu Shloim give him a refuah shleima, shaloi kederach hateva, then you can be sure that the Rabbeinu Shloim will not allow the macholos asuras to be mitamtzim his leiv. If you don't anticipate the cure, you need not worry lest he be cured and chas v'sholom be a mitumtum. The Rabbeinu Shloim doesn't do things halfway. If a shaloi kederach hateva, he'll come out without a leiv that mitumtum. Yes.
Would you agree that some cipher by committing him to a program where he can be cured up either on that
level? It sounds as if he agrees. However, Moshe's analysis of the Sansefer is confirmed by a grandson of Sansefer himself, a Jew in the Shevet Sefer, and the Shevet Sefer contradicts the conclusion that you drew from the Idris Moshe, which I think is a correct one, certainly Idris Moshe himself, but the Shevet Sefer contradicts that conclusion. He says that if you are dealing with a person who's committed to a mental institution and there is a possibility of cure, the Sansefer would have permitted the commitment, even though he will be cured and will become a mitumkin who may do a lot of averes afterwards. He said that the Sansefer was concerned only in that particular case. There we're dealing with somebody who is now mitzuvah in mitzvah. We're dealing with someone who isn't a shaytah for purposes of halacha. And that's clear, because I left out one little point. The Sansefer says you can let him go to a mental institution, but you have to take him out when he becomes bar mitzvah. Now what's the point of taking a shaytah out of a mental institution when he's bar mitzvah? You must be dealing with somebody who is mitzvah in mitzvah. Otherwise, concept of yizgimel doesn't make sense. There's no concept of yizgimel in regard to a shaytah. The Sansefer wasn't talking about a shaytah. He wasn't somebody who had mental disease. And the Sansefer has been misunderstood by many people who quoted it, because it's confusing the term shaytah. You were dealing with somebody who was suffering not from mental illness, but mental retardation. It was a school for mentally retarded. He was one of the psoim b'yaser. You take somebody who's mentally retarded, you want to train him to be a useful member of society. There are lots of things that you can do with somebody who is mentally retarded. You have to send to institutions for that. And those institutions serve macholos asuras. Now, can we send this person to a mental institution? Says the Sansefer, he's a kotzen, this is in Baltachilum, of course you can do it. When he becomes a global, then you're begging him to stupid. You must be mafreshim from his students, you're going to have to take him out. And in addition to all of that, says the Sansefer, I don't advise it, because he's going to become a metumtum, and he'll become a bar mitzvah, and he'll be a mitzvah, he's going to do a veris, particularly a pesi who's metumtum. You know, you give a chimtum halei to a pesi, you can anticipate what's going to happen. Says the Sansefer, I'm adding that for you, no, I'm putting those together. Says the Sansefer, I advise you not to do it. Says the Shevet Sefer, he advised you not to do it because this is a person who is already mitzvah b'mitzvah. He can be mekayim mitzvah. So he'll be mentally deficient. So what? You can't cause this person to become a mitzvah who's going to be a rosh lifnei hamokim. But if you'll give me somebody who is now not mekayim mitzvah at all, and I'm left with a choice. Either I allow him to be a shaita kol yomov, who has no averus to be sure, but he has no mitzvah either, or I can cure him, and he'll become a student mitzvah. But once he's a student mitzvah, he becomes a baal bakir, he can do averus. And in addition, he's a mitzvah halei, he's a mitzvah halei, and he may be more prone to do averus.
says the Shevet Sefer, Kahai Gavna, the Sam Sefer never said it's offered. If you make the calculus of Mitzvah Naveris, you're given the choice. Somebody, you got a brutal pill. You can take a child before Bar Mitzvah and you can turn him into a Shevet that's called Yomor. He'll never become an Avarian. He'll never do Avarian. But at the same time, he'll never do Mitzvahs either. Nobody would say that it's, you know, it's a good idea to turn this kid into a Shreita so that he won't have any Avarian. Even if you're dealing with somebody who is going to be prone because of whatever reason, society, where he's being brought up, the way he's being brought up, he's going to be prone to do Avarian. Nobody will tell you, create a state of affairs in which he can't do Mitzvahs. So to say, it's very fair in such a situation when you're confronted with this, namely this potential for a cure that will make him a bar mitzvah, a mitzvah mitzvah, but carries with it the potential for aveira. Under those circumstances, the Sam Sefer never said mutashia shreit the kol yomo. He didn't intend it as a malitza to be applied in every single case. He intended it only when you're dealing with somebody who is already a mitzvah mitzvah, and now. Now you've got somebody who's got a neurosis. Again, how welcome am I? He's got a neurosis, not a psychosis. He's not even a shreiter with over effort. And now you want to know, should I send him to a psychiatrist? The only psychiatrist that I have to send him to is someone who is koshud to be a mesis in my dear, and he'll counsel him to be nishul in various aveiros. There, the Sam Sefer would say, Mutiv Shiyashayta Kol Yomov, remain the petty, remains the neurotic, remains the person who's got some kind of strange behavior, but your Mitzvah Berisus, you'll have the cure. Rather than be restored to normalcy, but to be a Rosh that we say, Hamokim, there the Shevet Sefer says it applies. But not if you're dealing with a Shreita Manish. If you're dealing with a Shreita Manish who's potter from Kol Mitzvahs, and the only psychiatrist you have is somebody who's a Mesis in Madia, Kahai Gavna, it seems the Shevet Sefer would say, you're allowed to send him to the psychiatrist, he'll become a Bar Mitzvah, he'll become a Chuyiv in Mitzvahs, he may also do Averis, unfortunately he may do a lot more Averis because of the particular therapeutic approach of this psychiatrist. But there's nothing we can do about it under the circumstances. I'm not sure that Rav Moshe would sanction it in a Kahai Gavna. If you take Rav Moshe literally, you would end up with the Maskona that was presented by the person I asked the question before. But the Shevet Sefer certainly didn't understand the Sam Sefer that way. Yes.
If you know for physiological or biological reasons the person's acting in such a way and will permanently be acting in such a manner, if you not help their shell set because they're going to be.
If I understood the question correctly, the answer is yes. You're saying, in effect, I have somebody who's doing one of these things, and I know. Don't ask me how I know. But I've done some blood work on him, and I know that there's an enzyme present in the blood. And you know what this enzyme does? It makes the person be a Yisrael, a Belial, or Dereshu. And you know, I know in some way I'm able to show that this is irrational. And I can attribute it to the enzyme in the blood. You know, Kahai Gavnia, we've proven that it is Dereshu. I know that, I certainly know that there's no Gandharipas. You know, whatever else your little blood test did, it also shows that he doesn't suffer from Gandharipa. So you only have to do the blood test that you described. I can use the test to show that he doesn't have Gandharipa, so the only thing left is there of course. Yes.
I don't understand why you think that Moshe presented
that
somebody who is terminal, so to speak, or incurable.
That's not terminal,
so incurable.
I'm sorry?
Chazal Sofer was based on being able to cure the Shuk.
Right.
Shuk here is incurable, therefore there's no Hester to do anything here. Right?
In which case?
In the case of Rav Moshe was discussing.
In the case that Rav Moshe is discussing, he's saying several things. First of all, committing to an institution doesn't involve Batei Tefillin. Therefore, there's no reason not to commit to an institution. Do so. And then the rest follow.
Right. I mean, on that point, that the Chazal Sofer wouldn't have
to do another case. He says wouldn't disagree. I think that's unexceptional. Chazal Sofer would have agreed with Rav Moshe in that case. The case that I gave you There's no Baal Takiv. B, I don't have to worry about Kintum Halei because it's incurable.
Okay.
All right? Now, yeah.
Is there a threshold for prisons really or profoundly starting to become something?
Is there a point at which...
Yeah,
the
person is far like
that. Yes. To all intents and purposes, he's a shaykh. He's not an irrational shaykh, but he is an irrational shaykh. He is mentally retarded to the point of shkuz. He doesn't understand anything. He's more than the psoim b'yaseh. He's the psinus mishtageya. Now, a Pesi B'Yaser can...
It's going to be irrational.
No, it's not going to be irrational. He's just retarded.
Right.
He just doesn't understand what's going on. An imbecile. Right. No, a textbook imbecile.
So how do you define that?
I don't know how to define it. What's the difference between a Pesi B'Yaser and these who are staggering B'Yaser or whatever?
They're
moving, balling totally and completely?
No,
that's
right. Is it
your eye? No. The person that you're describing, what does he do and what doesn't he do?
Could be annoying.
He sits there all day. And so there's no irrational activity. He's catatonic.
Basically,
yeah, he's catatonic. It's a vegetable. Right? That sounds to me as if he is clearly thoughted from all. Yeah, what are the levels above that? That means I cannot tell you in terms of Stanford Genet test what the IQ level is, but you know, some place along that line, and you know, the Rambam couldn't define it for purpose of filter's ages in terms of the things that people do, and I can't define it precisely for purpose of the scheme of mitzvahs either. Because we're dealing with developmental shtus. The lack of mental development has left him in the state of the shaykh. A Tessi B'Yaser is somebody who cannot master the axioms of Euclidean geometry. That's a Tessi B'Yaser. I said the axioms, not the proposition. The axioms are elementary. He doesn't know that. That's why I'm giving the example. The Rambam's example was not that he can't solve a binomial equation, but his example is he doesn't understand the principle of non-contradiction. Hari Eilu B'Kval HaShekin for purposes of Hilchos Eidos. He didn't say that he's Potter Mikol Mitzvah Hamur is Potter. The people in Halacha Yud are perfectly capable of fulfilling any and all mitzvahs. One other point that I want to make with regard to the mental institution case, and that is for reasons that I don't understand, neither of Moshe nor the Sheikh of Musa talk about putting this person in a mental institution with reference to the fee of refuah. If there is a mitzvah of refuah, and there certainly is, I don't want to go into it right now, but even when you're dealing with a non-life-threatening illness, there's a mitzvah, you take the Ramban, the Achreinim, the Apei Levonim, says there's an Easter of Hasheva, there's a mitzvah of Hasheva Tzoloi, even when we're not dealing with Pikuach Nefesh, even though there's no Pikuach Nefesh, etc., etc., then the fact that everybody around is obligated in this mitzvah should certainly have been a reason to commit into the mental institution in order to achieve a cure, and the fact that later he'll be a Bardat who has Bechira and may do Averis, albeit because of Tzimtzum Halei, should Lukur be irrelevant. I'm not aware of the fact that possible future Tzimtzum Halei may intervene in any way to suspend the fee of refuah that is attendant upon other people who may be around and in a position to help this individual. There's one other point I should have made much earlier. I want to go back to that. It doesn't flow from anything I've been saying till now. But the children in the information deals with an individual who thought that he was Mashiach and also went around naked. The Ramesha
report that this was a shaila involving a Seder HaGet in the Yudan, and this is only one of the shailas that he had. And he spends less time discussing this and discussing the other. He seems to be more worried about the correct spelling of Yudan than whether this individual was competent to execute a get. And there was a case in which Rav Moshe had no problem. He said that this person is not Meshuggah, this person is not a Sheikah for purposes of the filth of Gerushin. He thinks that he is Mashiach, and that's not even Meshuggah with over Echad, that he's a Tayyib. A person who thinks that he is Mashiach is mistaken, but that's not necessarily Meshuggah. Incidentally, this was a fairly common mental aberration in Europe. It seems to have been a rather usual case of, a usual form of mental aberration. People thought they were Mashiach. And Rebecca says it's perfectly rational. Why shouldn't the person think that he's Mashiach? He may be a fool if he thinks he's Mashiach, but that doesn't necessarily mean that he's irrational. So he's not even the Meshuggah with over Echad of the Rambam and the Beis Yosef. And the fact that he's walking around naked, and the Rambam does say that that's one of the things that makes you crazy, or symptomatic of the fact that you're crazy, knocks this around, says Rav Moshe, if you think you're Mashiach. If you think you're Mashiach and walk around naked, it's perfectly rational. You think that you are like Odom Harishon Kodem HaKed, and that you have every right to walk around naked.